Our first meditation will be based on Matthew 26, verses 20 through 25, where we read, "When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go, just as it's written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' And Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.'" Can you imagine the mood in the room when Jesus said those words? This had to be like a shotgun blast. I tell you the truth, and the Greek word that's used there is similar to our word, I swear. I swear, one of you is going to betray me. Whoa, what? One of the inner 12? One of the closest followers of Jesus, his inner circle, going to betray him? Who could that be? And this is one of the few times when we can give some kudos to the disciples. There are many times in the Gospels where we go, boy, the disciples are really dense. They just don't get it. On this one, they get it. Because they come to him one after another and say, "Surely not I, Lord." With the recognition, apparently, that they knew that they were able to do that. They knew that it was possible, that they could. And they were right. Tragically, any one of them could have had the ability to betray the Savior because they were sinners. And tragically, me too. And you too. No, none of us have done specifically what Judas was going to do. And I pray none of us ever will. But every time we sin, there is a betrayal of the Savior that is involved. Every time I'm angry, jealous, lustful, fearful, doubtful, I'm betraying my Savior's trust in me as his child. Every time I fail to listen to his leadership, fail to listen to his promises, fail to make him the number one priority in my life, I'm betraying my Savior. Yes, what Judas did was horrid and horrible. But what I do is horrid and horrible too. Just as damning. Just as awful. In God's eyes. And so what does Jesus do? He gives you and me the Lord's Supper. Because in, with, and under the bread and wine, as we receive the Lord's true body and blood, what does he give to us? The forgiveness of sins. And what do you and I need more than the forgiveness of sins? There's nothing. And so Jesus invites us, tells us, come. Because here he wants to give you and me exactly what we need. He wants to give you anew and afresh the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord's Supper. Oh, it's a gift that we need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's confess our sins to our God. Today we'll use an adaptation of the personal preparation for the Lord's Supper, which is in the front of our hymnal. I invite you to please rise as we make our confession of sins and hear God's forgiving love. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. What does God tell me about myself in His holy word?
He says that I am a sinner and deserve only His punishment.
What should I do if I'm not aware of my sins or are not troubled by them? As we honestly examine ourselves according to the commandments, we see our failure. We confess, Holy and merciful God, I confess before you all my sins, those I remember, as well as those of which I am unaware. Like Peter, I have denied you. Like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, I have failed to be spiritually alert. At times, I have abandoned you by neglecting your word. Have mercy on me, O God. Jesus was willing to drink the cup of suffering that belonged to you and me. He died on the cross to pay the full price for all of your sins. With joy, we hear God's message. Your sins are forgiven. You are at peace with your God, resting comfortably under His protecting wings. We pray, Lord Jesus, assure us that all our sins have been washed away because of your death and resurrection. Continue to refresh us with your forgiving love each time we hear your word or come to your table. In your name we pray, amen. Our second reading from Matthew 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You may be seated. In a few moments, we'll approach the Lord's altar and we'll receive the Lord's Supper. One of our elders will begin and he will distribute the wafers, and as he does, he will say basically what Jesus said. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And then the wine will be brought. And as it's distributed, take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It's a wonderful thing. But let's just imagine we changed it up a bit. And instead of distributing bread and wine, and instead of speaking the words that Jesus spoke, what if we went to each person and said, here's $10,000, here's $10,000, here's $10,000, $10,000, $10,000. How excited do you think you would be to come to the altar? And oh, if word got around in the community that that's what we were doing when we celebrated the Lord's Supper, how many people do you think we'd have here the next time we did it? Oh, we'd pack the place, wouldn't we? $10,000? Or the body and blood of God? Do we even need to make the comparison? Can you imagine? God loves you so much that he is willing to unite himself to you. God loves you, loves me so much that he is willing to give to me the real body that was really on the cross, the real blood that was really shed. No, it's not something weird where the body and blood changed in, or where the bread and wine change into the body and blood. No, this isn't merely a symbol where the bread and wine merely symbolize Jesus' body and blood. What this is a miracle. That somehow, some way, in a way that goes beyond our understanding, we really eat bread, we really drink wine, but together with that bread and wine, God really gives you himself, his own true body, his own true blood, the Almighty, the Eternal, unites himself to the weak, to the mortal. The Lord's Supper. Oh, what a miraculous gift. Amen. Amen. Amen.